again, I'm going to be dealing with a taboo subject that most churches won't even preach on or talk about. I'm going to talk about every man's battle, why we need to make a covenant with our eyes, okay? Why we need to make a covenant with our eyes. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. While you're turning there, the principle, the foundation of guarding your eyes can be found in this scripture of Job 31. But there was two individuals, Stephen Arterburn and Fred Stoker. They wrote a book. This was many years ago, and it's called Every Man's Battle. This is one of my favorite books. This is one of the most powerful, life-changing books I've ever read as a man. I'm going to tell you right now. And as someone who can appreciate their research and what they put together, as someone who has a background, and I'm going to talk about a lot of that today, so we'll get into this. So Job 31, I believe everybody needs to hear this message. So if you, listen, ladies, if you're married, tag your husband and say, you need to watch this. You need to get men to watch this. Tag men in this, ladies, if they need to hear this. Not if, but they should hear this. Job 31, here's what it says. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. I've got both translations here, and I could read both, but I'm going to read the New Living Translation of Job 31, 1 through 12. Here's what it says. This is Job speaking. I made a covenant with my eyes. And that word covenant means I made a pledge with my eyes to not look with lust at a young woman. For what has God above chosen for us? What is our inheritance from the Almighty on high? Isn't it calamity for the wicked and misfortune for those who do evil? Doesn't he see everything I do? Come on, that's good. Listen to Job, what he says. Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take? Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh me on the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity. Come on, how many believes that Job was walking in integrity when he's telling God, hey, you know my integrity. You know my walk. You see me in secret and you see me in public. You see what I'm looking at. Come on, somebody. In secret, behind closed doors, when nobody else is looking. And you see what I'm looking at in public. And this is what he says. Verse 7. If I have strayed from his pathway, or if my heart has lusted for what my eyes have seen, somebody say what my eyes have seen, or if I'm guilty of any other sin, then let someone else eat the crops that I have planted. Oh, I got to tell somebody today, listen, lust and poverty go hand in hand. Let me say that again. Lust and poverty go hand in hand. He said, let all that I planted be uprooted. Now listen to verse 9. If my heart has been seduced by a woman, or if I've lusted for my neighbor's wife, then let my wife serve another man. Now your King James says, let my wife grind for another. I'm trying to be as user and family friendly as I possibly can. But what Job was saying here, guys, he's saying, if I've lusted for my neighbor's wife, then let my wife have relations with another man. Let her lie with another man. Let another man sleep with her. This is what it says in the Word. For lust is a shameful sin, a crime that should be punished. This is Job speaking. It is a fire that burns all the way to hell. It would wipe out everything I own. Now, how many believes that Job considered lust to be dangerous, to be deadly? He said it was a fire that burns all the way down to the lowest pits of hell, and that it would wipe out everything he has. Listen what Solomon said in Proverbs 6:21. Proverbs 6:21. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a law, a light. Reproofs of instructions are the way of life to, listen to this, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Verse 25 says, do not lust after her beauty in your heart. How do we lust after in your heart? Well, we're going to talk about that in a second. We're going to get deep. We're going to dig deeper. My goodness. We're going to dig deeper. Do not let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Now listen to what he says in verse 27 that echoes the very words of Job. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Question. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Listen to what he says in verse 30. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery, listen to this, with a woman lacks understanding. And he who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get. Somebody say that with me. Wounds and dishonor will he get. And his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts. I remember many years ago, I met a man that I worked with, and he served prison time. And I asked him what happened. Listen to this. He said he walked in and on his wife committing in the very act of adultery. Out of impulse, he went, grabbed his gun, and threatened to kill both of them. Thank God he did not pull the trigger, but he threatened their lives, and as a result, he went to prison over it. This is exactly what Solomon is talking about here. You commit adultery, you are going to pay the consequences, whether it's in your physical body, whether it's through people are being, come on, people die from this. People are murdered from this because, let me say this again, let me read it again. For the jealousy of a husband's fury will not be spared on the day of vengeance. You're not going to bribe him. You're not going to talk him down. You're not going to talk him out of it. Though you may offer him many gifts. Is this now? And you say, and you may be watching this and say, well, Brother Ricky, I have not committed adultery. I've been faithful to my wife for all these years. I've never had sexual relations with another woman. I've never kissed another woman. I've never had a relationship with another woman. Well, let's raise the standard a little bit more. Let me take you through an evaluation and let's see how you do on this evaluation. First of all, let's give you the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. This is the NIV. Now, you guys know me. I know most of the time I don't go outside of King James or New King James, but I really wanted to bring out some words here and really bring this out. NIV, Ephesians 5, 3. Paul is speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he said, but among you, he's talking to church folks here, guys, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Somebody say a hint. Now, what's a hint? Now, he didn't say among you, there must not be a report. There must be an act. of sexual immorality. He said there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality in your life. In other words, come on, you, what's a hint of sexual immorality? He said, or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these things are improper for God's holy people. I didn't say that. Paul said that to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. He said there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality. So that we are clear on this, sexual immorality includes the following: adultery, immorality, fornication, pornography, sodomy, homosexuality, and the list goes on. Voyeurism, and the list goes on. We could get a whole list of this, but I hope people have more wisdom and common sense that I don't have to name all these things. Now, let's go back to this book real quick. These guys made a test, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to go over this test, and you tell me, okay, where do you meet up on these standards? Here we go. Ready? And obviously, we're going to change some words here because of I don't want to get the broadcast shut down because we may push this too far, or because of certain words it may trigger things. So we're going to compensate and use certain words, and we're going to interchange them. Okay, but most of you guys are mature enough to understand what we're talking about here. All right, number one. All right, so all of you guys watching this, you could take notes on this, or you can buy this book, and it's got this list in here. Number one. Do you lock your eyes on an attractive woman? Or for all the ladies here, we can switch the words around here and say attractive man. Do you lock your eyes on an attractive man or woman when they come near you? Lock it on. Okay? In other words, do you look with the eyes of lust? And we'll talk about that in a minute, what Jesus said about that. All right? So you answer that right now in your own heart. Number two, do you self-gratify yourself to images of other individuals? Number three, and you say, well, I'm not committing adultery, okay? But are you committing adultery in your heart? Are you committing the act in your heart, in your mind? Hello? I know this is uncomfortable because nobody preaches on this and nobody talks about this in church, and we want to sweep it under the rug. But listen to me, guys. There's statistics have been done by Barna and other groups that do these polls, and they found out a huge portion of pastors and leaders of churches are actively involved in pornography, immorality, adultery, and all these things that we're talking about today. There's people in your, do you know how many people in your church, based on statistics alone, are looking at this stuff every single day and doing what we're talking about? All right. Number three, have you found your spouse to be less sexually satisfying? Probably because you've been filling up your heart with images of everybody else except for the person that God put you with. Woo! Number four, are you holding a grudge against your spouse? Let me read this again. Are you holding a grudge against your spouse, a grudge that gives you a sense of entitlement? Well, Brother Ricky, I'm holding a grudge against them because after all, they don't meet my needs. And you got to understand, my sexual drive is this and their sexual drive is that. Therefore, listen, you can chalk it up however you want. You can make excuses how you want. But if you're holding a grudge against your spouse, guys, and you're, and women, listen to me, and you're doing this against your husband for certain reasons, you're holding, come on, even the, listen, Paul said in the book of, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, he said that when you come together, he said, if you abstain from one another sexually, he said, let it be for a time of prayer and fasting, but quickly come back together, lest Satan tempt you. But listen, there's people out there that withhold relations from their spouse for ulterior motives. Friends, that is witchcraft, and you're playing with fire. And listen, when you do that, you are opening the door wide for Satan to come in and wreck your home quickly. All right, number five. Do you seek out sexually arousing articles or photo spreads in newspapers, magazine, websites, television programs? Do you have a private place or secret compartment that you keep hidden from your spouse in your home? Hello? Do you look forward to going away on a business trip or out of town? Why? So that you can scratch that secret itch. Golly, I'm not going to get too many amens and preach on, Pastor. But listen, I'm telling you, this is going to set some people free today that need to hear this. Number eight, do you have behaviors that you can't even share with your spouse? Number nine, do you frequently visit porn sites on the web, on your phone, on your tablet? Come on. Number 10, do you watch R-rated movies, sexually enticing videos, or other channels for gratification? Come on. The world calls it eye candy. Oh, I don't see. You know something, preacher. I don't see nothing wrong with that after all. Just because I'm on a diet don't mean I can't look at the menu. Listen, I've heard all that junk. And that's how the devil talks to you. He convinces you and he persuades you that a little bit of this and a little bit of that ain't going to hurt nobody. But I'm going to tell you something. Lies, lies, lies. Some of y'all can't get free from lust. You can't get free from this stuff because, come on, your playlist is full of this garbage from stuff that you listen to. Come on, R. Kelly used to say, I don't see nothing wrong with a little bit of bump and grind. I bet you if you talk to him today, he sees a lot wrong with a little bump and grind, because a little bit of bump and grind has now got a lot of charges against him right now, and he looks like he's going to spend a lot of time in jail. Come on, is this too hard of preaching for you? All right? So according to these authors of Every Man's Battle, according to this top 10 list, if you said yes to any of these, friends, you've got more than a little bit of a hint of sexual immorality. All right? So let me read on. Now I'm going to give you top 10. Let me give you the top 10 reasons why I believe that every man and woman, we're going to include the women, because listen, believe it or not, women fall in victim. Don't think that it's all men that deal with this. That's not true. Predominantly men, yes, but not solely men, because there's women that deal with this too. Let me give you 10 reasons, the top 10 reasons why every man, I'm going to go ahead and say man and woman, but it's really mainly men in this broadcast. Why every man should make a covenant with his eyes as Job did. And he said, well, it's impossible, Brother Ricky. Wrong. Guys, I'm going to share a personal testimony. It's going to get real personal in just a minute with you here in a second. So if you're taking notes, write this down. We're not going to go through this whole top 10 today. There's no way I can get through this. So let me give you 5 of the 10 today, and then we'll come back on here. I'm going to try to do it tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then we'll come back on Monday and we'll finish this list. So if you're writing, if you're taking notes, let me give you the top 10 reasons why you should make a covenant with your eyes. Number one, ready? It gives you peace with God. Let me say that again. It gives you peace with God. See, here's the bottom line, guys. 1 John, I love this scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, then God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Let me say that again. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. In other words, we have peace with God. Listen, we have peace in our prayer. We have peace in our worship. We have peace in our praise. We have peace when we're reading the word. We have peace when we're in the trial. We have peace when we're in the storm. Why? Because we have guarded our hearts. We've guarded our eyes. We've made a covenant with our eyes. We've not committed adultery with our eyes. We are walking upright with the Lord. We're walking righteously before the Lord, and we're like Job. We've made a covenant with our eyes so that we are not, listen, we can lay our head at night and know that we have peace with God in this area. Okay? Number two, it gives us a greater level of intimacy with the Lord. Now listen, guys, how are you going to have an intimate relationship with God when you've been looking at filth all day on the internet, when you've been watching filth all day on television, when you've been looking at filth all day in magazines, when you've just let your eyes roam and look at everything that bounces by, walks by, come on somebody, and everything that you can take advantage of, you've just filled your eyes, which in return fills your mind, which in return drops down into your heart and your body. Come on, falls in line with what your eyes have seen, what your mind has conceived, and what your heart has produced. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, listen what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Who? The pure in heart. Psalms 24, 3 through 5. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. Lust is an idol. Anything that you put above God, you put on the throne of your heart, is some. Listen, if you can't go a day without keeping your eyes guarded, without looking at this, looking at that individual, looking at that filth on the internet, looking at this, then friends, I've got a news flash for you. You are bowing down and you have become a slave to lust. Oh, I'm not going to get no help up in here, but it's the truth. But I'm going to tell you, friends, if something rises up in the inside of you, and you begin to make this commitment, say, "I'm going to make a covenant like Job with my eyes," then friends, I'm going to tell you something. You can get into that prayer closet. You can get into that corporate time of worship. You can go into that time in the presence of the Lord, and you will go deeper than you ever have before because your heart's not condemning you. Okay. Number three. It will give you a greater level of intimacy with your spouse. Listen, it will give you a greater level of intimacy with your spouse. Oh, now this one I'm going to ruffle some feathers with. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Listen what the word of the Lord says. "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Let me read this again, Hebrews 4, 13, 4. "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is to be undefiled." What does that mean? It means, listen to this, okay? Since we've got some folks on here that want to be some scholars, and they want to be real technical about this and say, and pat themselves on the back, come on, and act holier than anybody else and say, "Well, you know what, brother? I've never committed adultery on my spouse, so this is not relevant to me, and I have nothing to worry about." Well, let me ask you a question. When you're intimate with your spouse, what is your mind doing? What are you, thinking about? Come on, the secretary at your job. Are you thinking about, come on, your one of your best friends' wives or husbands or someone in the church or a leader in the church or the pastor's wife or your neighbor or someone else? Are you entertaining that? Are you doing role? Come on. I've heard Christians say this. Christians, well, it's okay to do role play because after all, you're just making believe. It puts a little bit of spice in your marriage and you're just making believe. It's not real and you can play role play. Lies, lies, and more lies of Satan. The enemy is filling you with lies. If you think there's nothing, listen, quit reading Cosmopolitan. Quit reading, come on, publications that are secular. Quit listening to Dr. Phil. Quit listening to Oprah Winfrey. Quit listening to the counsel of the ungodly and get back into the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this stuff? Come on. Hebrews 13:4. New Living Translation. Give honor to marriage. This is the same scripture in a different translation. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Now, let's break this down a little bit deeper. Matthew 5:27-30, New Living Translation. This is words of red Jesus speaking. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, listen what Jesus said. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman or man with lust has already committed adultery with them in their heart. Now, how do you commit adultery in your heart? Notice he said, anyone who looks with your eyes, guys. It starts with your eyes. If you want victory, oh my Lord, help me. Give me the words to say. If you want victory over self-gratification, I got to be careful here. If you want victory over these things, it's got to start with your eyes. Listen, what you feed your eyes feeds your mind, which feeds your heart, and your body is going to follow it. Listen, if you starve the eye gate, it begins to cut off things from your mind, and your mind has nothing to entertain anymore. Thus, there's nothing to entertain, so your body cannot be gratified. Woo, come on, somebody. Listen what he says. And if you don't think this was serious, listen what Jesus said. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your strongest hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, you got folks out there that don't even believe in hell. More or less anything I'm preaching here today. Come on, man. The church is really jacked up right now because we're going so far from the Word of God and from truth that we're entertaining everything else but the Word of God. Now, listen, I don't advise anybody to start plucking out eyes and cutting off hands, but here's the sum of this, guys. If you can't control your impulses and your urges, and you can't get victory with your computer, then get rid of the computer. Or get blocks on it. Get accountability put up. Get accountability partners. There's all kinds of applications. There's software that you can get, and you can get accountability partners that you can put on your computer, on your phone, on your devices. This is what Jesus is implying here. He's saying if something is causing you to stumble and keep falling, get rid of it, guys. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:22-23. The lamp of the body is the eye. Somebody say it's the eye. The lamp of the body. The whole body is the eye. This is why you ever heard old timers say the window to the soul is through the what? Come on, somebody talk to me. The eyes. Many times that's true. You can look into the eyes of an individual and you can see hurt. You can see pain. You can see sorrow. You can see lust. Listen. I've been around some Jezebels and some Delilahs in some places out in public, and I saw the look of lust in their eyes. Listen what he says. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Listen, even physicians years ago used to be able to, and they still can, the old school practice of medicine and physicians, they could take a light and they could shine in your eye, and many times they can determine certain diseases in your body based on certain spots and certain ways that your eye looks through light into your eye. But this, what we're talking in spiritual sense here, Jesus said, if your eye be good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye be bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now notice, he connected darkness directly connected to the eye. The eye, not the ears, not the mouth, not to say that it's not important what you hear and what goes in your mouth and your heart and all this. These things are important. But again, he zeroes in on and homes in on your eyes. All right. So number one, top 10 reasons why every man should make a covenant with his eyes. Number one, when you make a covenant with your eyes, it'll bring peace with God. Number two, it will give you a greater level of intimacy with the Lord. Number three, it will give you a greater level of intimacy with your spouse. Listen, in this book, these men talk about every man. He said it's like I'm going to use this Gatorade bottle, for example. He said every man has a cup. Okay, and God created us to naturally have desires. Come on, somebody. And these impulses, we were created with that. It's just in us. And when these desires become full in this cup, every man has a cup. When this cup becomes full, this is when you're more susceptible to get in trouble. Okay, they talk about this in this book, because when you go out in public, you see billboards, you see television commercials, you've got your phone in your hand, you've got a tablet, you've got your computer, you're out in public, you're out this, you're out there, you're at the office, whatever the case may be. Listen, when the cup is empty, in other words, that gratification has been scratched, that itch has been scratched through relations with their spouse. Y'all getting what I'm saying? Then the next day, come on, when they're confronted with the billboards, confronted with the images, confronted with this and that, they're not as tempted with that. Why? Because the cup is empty. But the longer they go, and you say, well, I don't believe this. Oh, I'm in the book. Hold on for a second. But the longer, one day it fills up. Yay, Mitch. Then 2 days. Then 3 days. Some men, they can go 7 days, 10 days, 15. Everybody's different. Some can go 30 days. Some can only go 2 days. Some can go 3 days. Come on. Everybody's drive is different. God made us all unique and different. And those things can be affected by hormones and by environment and by food and by exercise and if not enough sleep. And do you have kids? That can change everything. This is real talk today. All these factors and all these things can change based upon your environment, based upon your physical body, based upon if you have children, if you don't have children, or based upon your hormones. Come on, everybody. Let's talk about this. Let's get real. But as soon as that cup gets filled, this is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if you're going to separate from one another, let it be for a time of prayer and fast. In other words, there better be a devotional to God, because here's what he said. He said, if you don't come back together quickly, you're going to be tempted. Why? Because the cup's getting full. And he said, well, Brother Ricky, I'm watching this. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. What am I supposed to do? Here's the key, guys. Watch this. Let me talk about the single folks for a second. When you begin to apply these things, your drive is not as strong. The impulses are not as strong. Why? Because you are killing something that's trying to awaken before its time. Come on. So listen, but if you're walking around feeding this all the time through images, through things on television, things on the internet, you're feeding lust. You know what's going to happen? You're going to walk and be driven by lust. You're going to be everywhere you go. You're going to be driven by lust. What that's going to do is it's going to end up causing you to get into relationships that you never had any business being involved in anyway, because you've been, instead of you making logical decisions based upon thinking between what's between your ears, you've been walking around thinking about what's between your legs. Woo, is this too strong for somebody? I'm telling you, this is good. I'm preaching a lot better than some of y'all is listening today. But guys, we got to put the axe to this thing. And God has instructed these men. Thank God for these men who puts this together. Because they also wrote every woman's battle, every man's battle. Because women are more, they are lured and they are drawn in more emotionally, whereas men are drawn in more sensually or by images or by their sight. Now, that's not the case for everybody. So it's not a one size fits all, but it's a very good sum, a majority of this. All right, so watch this. All right, so we got one, number two, number three. Number four, confidence in our prayers. Making a covenant with our eyes will give us confidence in our prayers. Let me go back to 1 John 3:18 through 22. Watch this. Let me read this again. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, then God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Now listen to the next verse in Hebrew, or 1 John 3:22. And now he said, and, meaning you can't say and unless you read all what it, unless you read beforehand. Let me read this again. Watch this. If our heart does not condemn us, okay? In other words, we've been walking uprightly before the Lord. We've been guarding our heart. We've been making a covenant with our eyes. Watch this. If our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. And listen to verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Listen, how are you going to have confidence in your prayer knowing, come on, that you've been looking at filth all day and you've been filling up yourself with sensuality, filling yourself up with lust? Come on. No wonder people can't get the victory. No wonder people can't get delivered. No wonder people are not getting prayers answered. No wonder people don't want to pray. They don't want to go to prayer meeting. They don't want to intercede. They don't want to travail. Why? Because the moment they step in God's presence, they step in the prayer closet, they step in the church, condemnation is coming. The devil is whooping up on them because, come on, they know what they've been involved with, come on, all day long, all week long, and then they're stepping into the presence of God, and no wonder they don't want to pray. But friends, I'm going to tell you, when you begin to walk in freedom, when you begin to make a covenant with your eyes, you can come boldly before the throne room of grace, and you can begin to wage warfare. You begin to pray. You begin to open your mouth. You begin to intercede. You begin to plead the blood. You can come on. Let me make this more simpler. Submit yourselves unto God. Come on. Resist the devil and the enemy will flee. Hallelujah. Now watch this. All right. Let me read on down here. I've been 40 minutes. So I'm going to read. Listen, we're going to do the next half of this. So we're going to do 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 on the next segment of this. But let me read you some scripture here real quick. And then I want to share a personal testimony. Psalms 101, verses 2 through 4. This is David, the same guy who fell into adultery, and it started with the look. See, if he would have made a covenant with his eyes like Job did, he would have never got in trouble that day when he was looking out, come on, out his window and saw Bathsheba. If he was, come on, if he made a covenant with his eyes, first of all, if he was in battle like he should have been, second of all, if he made a covenant with his eyes, then he would have never fell into this. But watch this. But he learned, he repented, he learned his lesson, and he applied this. Now listen what he says, Psalms 101, verses 2 through 4. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me, O Lord? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Listen to this. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Did you hear that? Notice he says, I will, I will, I will. In other words, he made a vow. He made a commitment. He made a covenant. He's saying, I may stumble when I listen. Oh, and then that leads me to my next part. Let me tell you a personal testimony real quick. When I got saved 19 years ago, first of all, before I got saved, at an early age, we're talking about 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and on, from 8 years old on, I was exposed to pornography at an early age. My parents had it in their home. They had it on videotapes. They would watch it in the other room where I was at. Well, of course, I'm 8 years old. I walk in, and there it is on the television. So what do you think an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old is going to do? They're going to sit there and watch that because they're curious. So I was exposed to images. I was exposed to visuals that I had no business being exposed to. Things began to awaken in me that had no business being awakened at that age, at 8, 10 years of age, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around that age. Okay? And as a result of that, the curiosity began to grow. What happened? It planted a seed. The seed of lust began. It was planted. And then I remember my stepfather, he had Playboy magazines in our home, And centerfolds would be, I'd walk in my parents' bedroom and right there on the door, like you open the door on the outside, there's nothing there. But when you open it in and you look on the other side, on the inside, there's a centerfold portrait or picture there. Full-blown nudity here and there. And listen, I've asked the Lord to forgive my parents. I've forgiven them. I hold no grudges against them. Father, they forgive them, for they know not what they do. So don't think I have resentment towards them or bitterness towards them, because I don't. I've forgiven them, and it's under the blood. But what I'm trying to tell you, as a result of this, at 10, 8, somewhere between 8, 9, 10 years of age, I was exposed to this. Well, what do you think happened? That seed began to grow, and it began to water. And then, by the time I reached puberty, then things begin to really, mechanisms in my body begin to really, come on, begin rolling. And then at that point, I begin to access the videotapes. I begin to get access to the magazines. I had a tote. I'm not proud of this, but I'm trying to help somebody today. I had a tote, like you can buy at Walmart, a tote that's about 3 foot deep. This thing was filled in my own closet of my own room in my house. 14 years old, 15 years old, a tote was filled with pornographic videos and magazines, and it was there, and it was easily accessible, feeding lust, feeding. So I was bound by demonic power of lust, and it was there. But at the age of, listen, and that was a driving force in my life, okay? But at the age of 23, when I went down to the altar and gave my heart to Jesus and said yes to him, I got born again. The Spirit of God in me was born again. My spirit was born again. I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old had passed away and the old had become new. Now listen, my spirit was born again, but I still had the old carnal mind, and that mind was filled with garbage. My heart was filled with garbage. So do you think those impulses just left? No. Oh, sure, I went 3 days or so, And I was on cloud nine because I got born again. I was saved. And my heart, listen, I was born again, but my flesh was still driven by lust. So I was still looking at these things, still watching these things, still looking at and still being driven by these demons, these fleshly impulses. But here's the difference. Before Christ, I did this without conviction. It was just a scratch that I could just, it was just an itch that could be scratched at any impulse that I wanted. Because after all, everybody was doing it. The world embraced it. Even, come on. Publications out there that you'll find on your shelf at Walmart will tell married couples it's okay to explore. It's okay to have multiple partners. It's okay to role play. It's okay to do these things. There's a show on television where married couples or couples would come together and called Temptation Island, and they'd be put into an environment to see whether they'd be faithful. They're being exposed. And there's nothing. The world finds nothing wrong with this. So before Christ, it was an itch that could be scratched at convenience. But after I got born again, after the Spirit of God lived in me, though I was still committed, and guys, listen, this wasn't an overnight thing. We're talking about years went by. I loved God. I was born again. I read the Word. I wanted to hear the Word. I wanted to go to church. I could get up and preach the Word of God, but these impulses, these things were still driving me, and I would still fall into sin. I would still look at this. I would still look at that. I would weep. I would cry. I would cry my eyes out. I would travail. I would repent and say, God, I'm not going to do it again. And then I would I'd go back and do it again. I preached anybody today. So I remember as time went on, I remember one time I heard a testimony, and this testimony was about a young man who went to a well-known evangelist, and he said, can you pray for me? I'm lusting after girls. And this evangelist said, well, thank God. Thank God that you have a desire for women. He said, but we're going to pray for you. And he got ready to pray, and he prayed for the man. For the young man, God touched him. The fire of God touched him. And then months went by, and the evangelist came back to town, and this young man came up to him again and said, oh, preacher, can you pray for me again? Oh, my gosh, it's back again. It's back again. I'm lusting again. I had victory for a while, but now I've fallen back into lust again. Can you pray for me again? And this evangelist reached out his hand to pray for him again. And the Lord spoke to this evangelist and said, tell this young man he doesn't need deliverance. He needs discipline. So he began to tell him, he said, look, you've already been delivered. Oh, my goodness. Come on, guys. You've already been set free. Listen, if you've been born again, you've been set free. You've been loose from sin and bondage and wickedness. You've been set free from this thing. You don't need deliverance, friend. You need discipline, self-control. Job said, David said, these men said, I will make a covenant. Now, listen, here's where the rubber meets the road. Jude 24:24. My goodness, I got to close here. Jude 24:24. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Did you know that's in the Bible? It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Here's the thing, guys. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day. He said, this is what I said one day, guys. This was a step for my freedom. One day I said, God, you see my heart. And I had to be real before God. I told the Lord this, guys. I said, Lord, my heart loves to lust. It loves these things, but my love for you is greater. And I choose you. I want you. I desire you. I don't want to do these things, though my flesh wants to do these things. By the way, this is in your Bible. Paul said this. He said, when I will to do what is right, he said, there was another member in me. There was another law in me that was working against me. He said, there was an impulse. My flesh. He said, when I wanted to do what was right, he said, I would do that which was wrong. The more I try to do what was right, I would do what was wrong. Come on, there has to come a point in your, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but if you want to be free from this today, you want to make a covenant with your eyes today, you're tired of the condemnation, you're tired of, come on, covering up things, hiding things, come on, deleting your history on your computer, come on, trying to do this and trying to do that and cover up this, you're tired of not being able to feel his presence, tired of praying and not having an assurance when you pray. Listen, there's got to be something on the inside of you that rises up and says, enough is enough. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going through this. I want victory. I want freedom. When you get to that point, friends, and you're really there and you become real with God and you begin to confess your sins before him, confess your faults one to another, confess to other people, confess to your spouse, confess to those that you can confide in, your power, whatever the case would be. When you begin to do that, friends, and you begin to make that vow, and you say, I don't care if it kills me, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. Like David, he says, I am going to walk uprightly. I'm not going to set anything wicked before my eyes. I'm going to hate those that fall away, and it will not cling to me. I choose not to be another statistic, but I choose to walk in holiness. I choose to walk in righteousness. I choose to use, listen to this, you ready for this? I choose to use the grace of God for what it's really purposed to do for my life. It is not for me to live like I want to live. Listen, the grace of God is not for me to keep looking at that, keep watching that, and keep feeding that. The grace of God is there to empower you to walk in victory and freedom over that thing. But you've got to want it, guys, on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is right there. Listen, I remember the Lord showed me this one day. He said, son, the Holy Spirit's waiting on you. He said, we've been waiting on you the whole time. As soon as you step out, come on, Peter, as soon as you step out of the boat, you're going to begin to walk. You're going to begin to walk in the supernatural. Now listen, don't beat yourself up. You say, well, Brother Ricky, today, I'm going to start today. I'm going to start today. I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. Well, listen, you get ready because you're going to get some bruises. You're going to get some scrapes. You're going to get some scratches because I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to be real, and these men will tell you too. The moment you begin to make up your mind and you start guarding your eyes and you start making a covenant with your eyes, friends, I'm going to tell you, your flesh will fight you. Your impulses will fight you. Listen, you'll be watching television. You'll be out in public. You'll see, they talk about this. You'll see a jogger run by and your eyes will immediately by nature, by impulse, they will want to, like heat-seeking missiles, they want to seek in on it. But you've got to train yourself. And here's the powerful thing I want to tell you. Anything you do for 21 days straight becomes a habit. Even, listen, a psychologist will tell you this. Anyone who deals with these type of habits and addictions, if you can, for 3 weeks, if you can maintain this covenant, friends, it'll get easier and easier. And listen, here's what'll happen too. I'm just being real, guys. Listen, if I'm going to get real, I'm going to get really real. You know what else will start happening? So get ready. You'll start having crazy dreams. You'll start having dreams that are filthy. Why? Because your subconscious is still alive and well. Those images are like a hard drive. All the years that you've been storing those images in your mind has to be renewed. It has to be transformed. Come on, you have to wipe that hard drive out by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil don't play fair, so don't expect him to. So what will happen is, you'll be walking in victory while you're awake, but when you go to sleep, guess what? He'll come in your sleep and he'll try to put images in your mind, or your flesh will just try to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Guys, you'll wake up and you'll be repenting of things you didn't even do because of where your mind's taking you that night. But this will eventually, but you know what'll happen? This is what happened to me. in my dream, women would come to me in my dream, and they wouldn't have a stitch of clothes on. And in my dream, I would immediately cover my eyes in my dream, or I would hold out my hand and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and they would go away. Or I would turn my head in my dream. Friends, you know you're walking in victory when in your subconscious, in your dream state, you're even, come on, rebuking and resisting devils. It's not going to happen overnight, guys. But I'm going to tell you, when you make that commitment and you start moving forward and you say, I'm going to walk in freedom, I'm going to be like Job and make a covenant with my eyes, watch out, friends, because you're going to start walking in freedom. You watch that. Listen, let me recap this real quick. Watch these certain levels begin to play. Watch the peace that you'll get in your heart. Watch the greater intimacy you'll begin to walk in with the Lord. Watch the greater level of intimacy you'll have with your spouse. Watch the confidence that you'll get in your prayer. And watch, and number five, watch the deeper, and I didn't even cover this. I should have said this a while ago. Let me say this real quick. Number five, the deeper level of intimacy and worship. Watch the level of worship. Guys, one of the things I noticed is I can't even worship God anymore. Before I made this covenant with my eyes in times past, I would get into worship and there'd be such condemnation that I couldn't even get into worship. But when you've been walking in freedom, I'm telling you, during worship, you'll just cry like a baby, man. I'll be there and my eyes will be, I'll be bawling and my heart is just torn out. Because why? Because there's just such purity and level of freedom and intimacy with God that I can hear Him. I can tune into Him so much clearer because it resonates in your spirit. Come on. I didn't mean to go. I wanted to go 30 minutes with this, but you know what? I believe God used this. So let me pray for you guys. I've got 2 minutes and let me pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for every individual, for all the men here and women, God. I believe it's majority of men need to hear this, but unfortunately a majority of women probably came on the broadcast to hear this. So Father, I'm asking, Lord, if I can do this, then any man out there can do this because I know what it's like. Lord, you remember the times, Lord God, when I used to cry out to you and I would shake my fist and say, God, it's not fair. It's not fair that I was exposed to these things at an early age. I didn't have a choice in it. And these are devils and demons that I was exposed to. And it's not fair, God. And you remember my prayer, my heartfelt prayer. But God, you begin to reveal to me and show me that through self-control and through discipline, Lord, I can achieve victory. And Lord, you want to do it for every brother and sister that's watching this today. Lord, you see their hearts. There's people that's watching this right now and their tears are flowing down from their face because they can relate. They're saying, I know what it's like. I've been bound by this. I fall in the cycles of this. I get victory over this and then I fall back into it. Then I get victory and then I fall back into it. God, there's people watching this today by YouTube and by Facebook. And God, their hands are lifted. Tears are flowing. The heart is palpitating. And they're saying in their spirit, they're saying, I want to walk in freedom. God, I thank you that you have already empowered them with grace, empowered them with the Spirit of God and with the fire of God to be able to obtain this victory. You told me this one day, Lord. You said, I'm waiting on you. And when you're ready, I'm here, I'm waiting. And Lord, you're waiting on them. And as they step out, God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would empower them. And empower them and equip them. Lord, let them get resources like this book, like Every Man's Battle, or other resources out there that they can equip themselves with, that they can maintain, obtain, and walk in victory so that they can have the assurance and confidence in their prayer and their worship and their intimacy with their spouse and their intimacy with you. They can rest their head at night and have peace with God, knowing that if something was to happen, they would not have a hint of sexual immorality in their heart. Father, if we've grieved you or hurt you any way, Lord God, your word says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be vexed. He can be grieved. He can be vexed. He can be suppressed. Lord, if we've done that in any way, offended you in any way, Holy Spirit, by our words, unclean language, jokes or verbiage that we've spoken or things that we've looked at. Father, we repent today. We repent today and we ask that you would help us to walk uprightly. Help us to let it start with our eyes. And as our eyes are blocked, as we guard our eyes, our mind will be transformed and renewed by your word. And when this begins to happen, our heart will reflect that very thing. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, guys. I hope you received this today. I pray that this resonates and bears witness with many of you guys in your spirit and in your heart. I believe it's a very powerful word for somebody that's listened to this today. So we're gonna sign out here today. Again, guys, if you would like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, if this ministry is a source of equipping, it's a source of edification, then we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us, to support us, to sow a one-time seed. If this is your home church, we want to give you an opportunity to tithe and give as the Lord leads you to do that. And you could do that electronically by clicking under support the ministry. If you're watching this by YouTube, just click on the website address that you'll see, either remnantrevival.org or endtimeheadlines.org as well. If you wish to give by check or money order, you can give either by Remnant Revival Ministries or to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, that's Clarksville, Indiana, that's 47131. That's our physical mailing address, those that wish to give by check or by money order. Guys, again, we appreciate your support to this ministry, your partnership to this ministry, your prayers, your intercession, and everything to it. Without your support, your partnership, we would not be able to continue doing what we're doing. So again, from the bottom of our heart, we always appreciate, and you know who you are, that are continual supporters of our ministry and help us to do what we're doing. Listen, guys, I'm excited to announce that we are coming back. We are coming back to Cornerstone Community Church in Cordon, Indiana. We're going to be back there this coming April 27th. That's on a Saturday night. It's 6 p.m. Eastern. That's Cornerstone Community Church, 6 p.m. Eastern, okay? The physical address is 1350 North Old Highway 135, Cordon, Indiana. We were there back in February, and we had a wonderful time, a powerful move of the Spirit. God really moved there. We had a great time there, and we're going to be back again. We're excited about that. You'll want to come to this. If you're in anywhere within driving distance, please come. And I believe you'll be equipped and you'll be edified and encouraged as well. So again, that's in April. That's April 27th. And that is on a Saturday night, 6 p.m. service, a Saturday night service. So it's not taken away from your normal Sunday service. If you're a Sunday a church attendee, you can come out on that Saturday night and be a part of that meeting. If you would like to be a part of that. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to try. I'm going to say try to come back on here on Thursday. If for some reason we're not able to come on tomorrow to finish this, we will be back on here on Monday and we will finish this as well. We got a lot of things going on. I've got family coming in out of town to spend time with them. So we've got a very busy week this week. So we'll try to do that when we can. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you soon.